If I can't take long walks at night with company, I take them by myself. I was strolling by the edge. The whirlwind was low, and the stellar plex, that huge heat-gathering mirror that's hung 9,000 miles off the pit, was out. It looks vaguely like the moon used to look from Earth, only twice as big, perfectly silver, and during the 3.5 days it faces us, it's always full. Then, up ahead where the fence was broken, I saw a rabbit kicking gravel over the edge. He was leaning against a lamppost, his shirt ballooning and collapsing at his back. "Hey, kid boy, isn't the Golden still at Allegra's? What's the matter? Ain't dinner yet?" He shrugged. His body had that sort of ravenous metabolism that shows 24 hours without food. "Come on, I promised you a meal. Why so glum?"
"Make it something to drink."
"Well, I know about your phony ID, but we're going to eat. You can have milk just like me." No protests, no dissertation on the injustice of liquor laws. He started walking with me. "Come on, kid boy, talk to Gramps. Don't you want your ship anymore?" Suddenly he clutched my forearm with bony fingers. My forearm is pretty thick, and he couldn't get his hand around it.
"Vine, you've got to make Sandy give it to me now. You've got to."
"Kid boy, talk to me."
"Allegra. And the Golden. Hate Golden, Vine. Always hate them. Because if you start to like one and then start hating again, it's worse."
"What's going on? What are they doing?"
"He's talking and she's hallucinating. And neither one pays any attention to me."
"I see."
"You don't see. You don't understand about Allegra and me."
"I was the only one who'd met the both of them who didn't. I know you're very fond of each other." More could be said. Ratlet said more.
"We don't even like each other that much, Vine. But we need each other. Since she's been here, I get her medicine for her. She's too sick to go out much now. And when I have bad changes or sometimes bright recognitions, it doesn't matter. I bring them to her and she builds pictures of them for me. And we explore them together. And learn about things. When she was a psychiatrist for the government, she learned an awful lot about how people tick. And she's got an awful lot to teach me. Things I've got to know."
15-year-old, ex-psychiatrist, drug addict. Same sort of precocity that produces 13-year-old novelists. Get used to it.
"I need her now almost as much as she needs her medicine."
"Have you told the Golden you've got him a ship?"
"You didn't say I could have it yet."
"Well, I say so right now. Why don't we go back there and tell him he can be on his way? If we put it to him a little more politely, don't you think that'll do the trick?" He didn't say anything. His face just got back a lot of its life. "We'll go right after we eat. What the hell, I'll buy you a drink. I may even have one with you." Allegra's was blinding when we arrived.
"Ratlet, you're back. Hello, Vine. I'm so glad you're both here. Everything is beautiful tonight."
"The Golden. Where's the Golden?"
"He's not here."
A momentary throb of sadness dispelled with torturous joy.
"But he's coming back."
"Oh." His voice echoed through the long corridors of golden absence lining the room.
"Because I got a ship for him. All his. Just had a tune-up. He can leave anytime he wants to."
"Here are the keys." I took them from my pouch for dramatic effect. "Happened to have them right here." As I handed them to Ratlet, there were fireworks, applause, a fanfare of brasses.
"Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Because guess what, Ratlet? Guess what, Vine?"
"I don't know. What?"
"I'm a Golden, too."
From the shoulders of the cheering crowd, pushing their way through still more admiring thousands.
"Huh?"
"I, me, myself, am actually an honest-to-goodness Golden. I just found out today."
"You can't be. You're too old for it just to show up now."
"Something about my medicine. It's dreadfully complicated."
The walls were papered with anatomical charts, music by Stockhausen.
"Something in my medicine kept it from coming out until now, until a Golden could come to me, drawing it up and out of the depths of me, till it burst out, beautiful and wonderful and golden. Right now he's gone off to Carlson Labs with a urine sample for a final hormone check. They'll tell him in an hour, and he'll bring back my golden belt. But he's sure already. And when he comes back with it, I'm going to go with him to the galaxies as his apprentice. We're going to find a cure for his sickness, and something that will make it so that I won't need my medicine anymore. He says if you have all the universe to roam around in, you can find anything you look for. But you need it all, not just a cramped little cluster of a few billion stars off in a corner by itself. Oh, I'm free, Ratlet, like you always wanted to be. While you were gone, he did something to me that was golden. And it triggered my hormonal imbalance.
The image came in through all five senses. Breaking the melodious ecstasy came the clatter of keys as Ratlet hurled them at the wall. I left, feeling pretty odd. Ratlet had started to go too, but Allegra called him back.
Oh, no, don't go on like that, Ratty. Act your age. Won't you stay and do me one little last favor?
So, he stayed. When I untangled myself from the place and was walking home, I kept on remembering what Allegra had said about love. Work next day went surprisingly smoothly. Polochki called me up about 10 and asked if I knew where Ratlet was because he hadn't been at work that day.
You're sure the kid isn't sick?
I said I'd seen him last night and that he was probably all right. Polochki made a sort of disgusted sound and hung up. Sandy left a few minutes early, like he'd been doing all week, to run over to the post office before it closed. He was expecting a letter from his group, he said. I felt strange about having given the ship away from out under him. It was sort of an immature thing to do. But he hadn't said anything about wanting it, and Ratlet was still doing Allegra favors, so maybe it would all work out for the best. I thought about visiting Allegra that evening, but there was the last 6 months' paperwork, still not finished. I went into the office, plugged in the computer, and got ready to work late. I was still at it sometime after 11 when the entrance light blinked, which meant somebody had come into the hangar door. I'd locked it. Sandy had the key so he could come in early. So it was Sandy. I was ready for a break and all set to jaw with him a while. He was always coming back to do little work at odd hours. I waited for him to come into the office. But he didn't. Then a needle on the power gauge, which had been hovering near zero with only the drain of the little office computer, swung up to 7. One of the big pieces of equipment had been cut in. There was some cleanup work to do, but nothing for a piece that size. I switched off the computer and stepped out of the office. The first great opening in the hangar roof was mostly blocked with the bulk of Ratlet's, Sandy's, my ship. Stellar Plex light curved smoothly over one side, then snarled in the fine webbing of lifts, catwalks, haul lines, and grappler riggings. The other two were empty, and 100-meter circles of silver dropped through the assembly rigging to the concrete floor. Then, I saw Sandy. He stood just inside the light from the last opening, staring up at the stellar plex, its glare lost in his ruined face. As he raised his left hand, when it started to move, I thought it looked too big. Light caught on the silver joints of the master gauntlet he was wearing. I knew where the power was going. As his hand went above his head, a shadow fell over him as a 15-foot slave talon swung from the darkness, its movements aping the master glove. He dropped his hand in front of his face, fingers curved. Metal claws lowered about him, beginning to quiver. Something about the way... He was trying to kill himself! I started running toward those hesitant, gaping claws, leaped into the grip, and reached over his shoulder to slap my forearm into the control glove, just as he squeezed. Like I say, my forearm is big, but when those claws came together, it was a tight fit. Sandy was crying. "You stupid, inconsiderate, bird-brained, infantile!" As I pried his fingers loose from my arm, the talons jerked open one at a time from around us. "Asinine! Idiotic!" At last I got the glove off. "Puerile! What the hell is the matter with you?" Sandy was sitting on the floor now. His head hung between his shoulders. He stank. I maneuvered the slave talon back into place with the gross motion controls on the gauntlet's wrist. "Look, if you want to go jump off the edge, that's fine with me. Half the gate's down anyway. But don't come here and mess up my tools. You can squeeze your own head up a little bit, but you're not going to bust my glove up here. You're fired. Now, tell me what's wrong."
"I knew it wasn't going to work. Wasn't even worth trying. I knew."
Beside his left hand was the portapix. Its screen cracked, and a crumpled piece of paper. I turned off the glove, and the talon stopped humming 20 feet overhead. I picked up the paper and smoothed it out. I didn't mean to read it all the way through.
"Dear Sanford, things have been difficult since you left, but not too hard. And I guess a lot of pressure is off everybody since you went away. The kids are getting used to your not being here, though Bobby D. cried a lot at first. She doesn't now. We got your letter and we're glad to hear things have begun to settle down for you, though Hank said you should have written before this and was very mad, though Mary tried to calm him down, but he just said, 'When he married you all, he married me too, damn it, and I've got just as much right to be angry at him as you have.' Which is true, Sanford. But I tell you what he said because it's a quote, and I think you should know exactly what's being said, especially since it expresses something we all feel on one level or another. You said you might be able to send us a little money if we wanted you home, which I think would be very good. The money, I mean. The Laura said if I put that in the letter, she would divorce us, but she won't. And like Hank, I've got a right to say what I feel, which is, yes, I think you should send money, especially after that unpleasant business just before you left. But we are all agreed we do not want you to come back, and we'd rather not have the money if that's what it meant. That is hard but true. As you can gather, your letter caused quite an upset here. I would like, which makes me different from the others, but is why they wanted me to write this letter, to hear from you again and keep track of what you're doing, because I used to love you very much, and I never could hate you. But like Bobby D., I've stopped crying. Sincerely,
the letter was signed
Joseph.
In the lower corner were the names of the rest of the men and women of the group. Sandy?
I knew they wouldn't take me back. I didn't even really try, did I? But...
Sandy, get up.
But the children. What's going to happen to the children?
And there was a sound from the other end of the hangar. 3 stories up the side of the ship in the open hatchway, silvered by stellar plex light, stood the Golden, the one Ratlet and I had found on the street. You remember what he looked like. He and Allegra must have sneaked in while Sandy and I were struggling with the Waldo. Probably they wanted to get away as soon as possible before Ratlet made real trouble, or before I changed my mind and got the keys back. All this ship-giving had been done without witnesses. The sound was a lift rising toward the hatchway.
The children.
The door opened, and a figure stepped out in the white light. Only it was Ratlet. It was Ratlet's red hair, his gold earring, his bouncy run as he started for the hatch. And there were links of yellow metal around his waist. Baffled, I heard the Golden call,
"Everything checks out inside, brother. She'll fly us anywhere."
"I got the grapples all released, brother. Let's go."
Their voices echoed down through the hangar. Sandy raised his head, squinting. As Ratlet leaped into the hatch, the Golden caught his arm around the boy's shoulder. They stood a moment, gazing at one another. Then Ratlet turned to look down into the hangar, back on the world he was about to leave. I couldn't tell you if he knew we were there or not. Even as the hatch swung closed, the ship began to whistle. I hauled Sandy back into the shock chamber. I hadn't even locked the door when the thunder came and my ears nearly split. I think the noise surprised Sandy out of himself. It broke something up in my head, but the pieces were falling all wrong. "Sandy, we've got to get going."
"Huh?"
He was fighting the drunkenness and probably his stomach, too.
"I don't want to go nowhere."
"You're going anyway. I'm sure as hell not going to leave you alone." When we were halfway up the stairs, I figured she wasn't there. I felt just the same. Maybe she was with them on the ship.
"My medicine. Please, can't you get my medicine? I've got to have my medicine. Please, please, please."
I could just hear the small, high voice when I reached the door. I punched it open. Allegra lay on the mattress, pink eyes wide, white hair frizzled around her balding skull. She was incredibly scrawny, her uncut nails black as Sandy's nubs without the excuse of hours in a graphite-lubricated gauntlet. The translucency of her pigmentless skin under how many days of dirt made my flesh crawl. Her face drew in around her lips like the flesh about a scar.
"My medicine. Fime, is that you? You'll get my medicine for me, Fime. Won't you get my medicine?"
Her mouth wasn't moving, but the voice came on. She was too weak to project on any but the oral level. It was the first time I'd seen Allegra without her cloak of hallucination, and it brought me up short. "Allegra? Ratlet and the Golden went off on the ship."
"Ratlet. Oh, nasty, ratty, awful little boy. He wouldn't get my medicine. But you'll get it for me, won't you, Vime? I'm going to die in about 10 minutes, Vime. I don't want to die. Not like this. The world is so ugly and painful now. I don't want to die here."
Don't you have any?" I stared around the room I hadn't seen since Drunk Roach lived there. Dried garbage piled first in one corner, now covered half the floor. The rest was littered with papers, broken glass, a spill can of something unrecognizable for the mold, and a dead beetle.
No, none here. Ratlet gets it from a man who hangs out in Gerd's over on Chi AX. Oh, Ratlet used to get it for me every day. Such a nice little boy. Every day he would bring me my lovely medicine. I never had to leave my room at all. You go get it for me, Vime.
It's the middle of the night, Allegra. Gerg's is closed and Chi AX is all the way across the pit anyway. I couldn't even get there in 10 minutes, much less find this character and come back.
If I were well, Vime, I'd fly you there in a cloud of light, pulled by peacocks and porpoises, and you'd come back to oboes and tambourines, bringing my beautiful medicine to me in less than an eye's blink. I'm sick now. Sick. And I'm going to die.
There was a twitch in the crinkled lid of one pink eye. Allegro, what happened?
Rap, that's insane. Insane at 20,000 light years. Dead at 25.
But his golden belt.
It was mine. It was my belt. And he stole it. And he wouldn't get my medicine. Ratlet's not a golden. I'm a golden, Vime. I can go anywhere, anywhere at all. I'm a golden, golden, golden. But I'm sick now. I'm so sick.
But didn't the golden know the belt was yours?
Him? Oh, he's so incredibly stupid. He would believe anything. Golden went to check some papers and get provisions and was gone all day to get my belt. But you were here that night. I asked Ratlet to go and get my medicine and take another sample to Carlson's for me. But neither of them came back till I was very sick, very weak. Ratlet found the Golden, you see, told him that I changed my mind about going and that he, Ratlet, was a Golden as well and that he'd just been to Carlson's. So the Golden gave him my belt, and off they went.
But how in the world would he believe a kid with a story like that?
You know how stupid Golden can be, Vime. As stupid as they can be mean. Besides, it doesn't matter to him if Ratlet dies. He doesn't care if Ratlet was telling the truth or not. The Golden will live. When Ratlet starts drooling, throwing up blood, goes deaf, then blind, then dies, the Golden won't even be sad. He's too stupid to feel sad. That's the way Golden are. But I'm sad, Vime, because no one will bring me my medicine.
You mean you didn't know what you were doing to Ratlet by leaving Allegra? You mean you didn't know how much he wanted to get out and how much he needed you at the same time? You couldn't see what it would do to him if you deprived him of the thing he needed and rubbed his nose in the thing he hated both at once? You couldn't guess that he'd pull some crazy stunt? Oh, kid girl, you talk about Golden. You're the stupid one.
Not stupid. Mean, Vime. I knew he'd try to do something. I just didn't think he'd succeed. Ratlet is really such a child.
Couldn't you have waited just a little longer, Allegra? Couldn't you have worked out the leaving some other way, not to hurt him so much?
I wanted to get out, Vime, to keep going and not be trapped. Like Ratlet wanted, like you want, like Sandy wants, like Golden. Only I was cruel. I had the chance to do it, and I took it. Why is that bad, Vime? Unless, of course, that's what being free means.
A twitch in the eyelid again. It closed. The other stayed open. Allegra?
I'm a golden, Vime. A golden. And that's how golden are. But don't be mad at me, Vime. Don't. Ratlet was mean, too. Not to give me my medicine.
The other eye closed. I closed mine, too, and tried to cry, but my tongue was pushing too hard on the roof of my mouth. Sandy came to work the next day, and I didn't mention his being fired. The teletapes got hold of it, and the lead lines tried to make the thing as sordid as possible.
Ex-con, teenager, slays junkie sweetheart, dies horribly.
They didn't mention his novel. They didn't mention the Golden either. They never do. Reporters pried around the hangar a while, trying to get us to say the ship was stolen. Sandy came through pretty well.
It was his ship. I gave it to him.
What are you gonna give a kid like that a ship for? Maybe you loaned it to him, huh? Dies, horrible death, in borrowed ship. That sounds okay.
Gave it to him. Ask the boss.
He turned back toward the scaffolding.
He witnessed.
Look, even if you like the kid, you're not saving him anything by covering up.
I didn't like him, but I gave him the ship.
Thanks, I told Sandy when they left. Not sure what I was thanking him for, but still feeling very grateful. I'll do you a favor back. A week later, Sandy came in and said,
Boss, I want my favor.
So, you're gonna quit at last. Can you finish out the week? He looked embarrassed, and his hand started moving around in his overall pouch.
Well, yeah, I am gonna leave, but not right away, boss. It is getting a little hard for me to take out here.
You'll get used to it. You know, there's something about you that, well, it's a lot like me. I learned. You will, too.
I don't think I want to. See? I got a ticket.
In his dirty fingers was a metal-banded card.
In 4 weeks, I'm going back in from the star pit. Only I didn't want to tell you just now because, well, I did want this favor, boss.
You're not going back to your group. What are you going to do?
Get a job. I don't know. There are other groups. Maybe I've grown up a little bit.
His fist went way down into his pouch, and he started to shift his weight back and forth.
About that favor, boss.
What is it?
I got to talking to this kid outside. He's really had it rough, Fine.
That was the first and last time Sandy ever called me by my name, though I'd asked him to enough times before.
And he could use a job.
A laugh got all set to come out of me, but it didn't, because the look on his ugly face behind the belligerence was so vulnerable and intense. Vulnerable? But Sandy had his ticket. Sandy was going on. Send him to Polachki's. Probably needs an extra grease monkey. Now let me get back to work, huh?
Could you take him over there? That's the favor, boss.
Sandy, I'm awfully busy. Oh, all right.
Hey, boss. Remember that thing you asked me if I ever had when I was a kid?
It took a moment to come back to me. You mean in a collegerium?
Yeah, that's the word. The kid boy's got one. He's right outside waiting for you.
He's got it with him? Sandy nodded. I walked toward the hangar door, picturing some kid lugging around a 6x6 plastic cage. Outside, the boy was sitting on a fuel hydrant. I'd put a few trees there, and the daylight from the illumination tubes arcing the street dappled the gravel around him. He was about 14, with copper skin and curly black hair. I saw why Sandy wanted me to go with him about the job. Around his waist, as he sat hunched over the hydrant with his toes spread on the metal base flange, was a wide-linked belt that was golden. He was looking through an odd jewel and brass thing that hung from a chain around his neck. Hey! There were spots of light on his blue-black hair. You need a job? My name's Fine. What's yours?
You call me Anne.
Your nickname? And really?
Androcles.
Oh. My oldest kid is dead. I know it, because I have all sorts of official papers saying so. But sometimes it's hard to remember, and it doesn't matter whether the hair is black, white, or red. Well, let's see if we can put you to work somewhere. Come on. Anne stood up, eyes fixed on me, suspicion hiding behind high glitter. What's that thing around your neck? His eyes struck it and bounced back to my face.
Cousin?
Huh? Then I remembered the golden slang. Oh, sure. First cousins. Brothers, if you want.
Brother.
Then a smile came tumbling out, silent and volcanic. He began loping along beside me as we started off toward Polachki's. He held up the thing on the chain.
This is an ecologerium. Want to see?
Oh, a little one. With microorganisms. Sure, let's have a look. The hair on the back of his neck pawed the chain as he bent to remove it. I held it up to see. Some blue liquid, a fairly large air bubble, and a glob of black speckled jelly in a transparent globe the size of an eyeball. It was set in two metal rings, one within the other, pivoted so the globe turned in all directions. Mounted on the outside ring was a curved tongue of metal, at the tip of which was a small tube with a pin-sized lens. The tube was threaded into a bushing, and I guess you used it to look at what was going on inside the sphere.
It's self-contained. The only thing needed to keep the whole thing going is light. Just about any frequency will do, except way up on the blue end, and the shell cuts that out.
I looked through the brass eyepiece. I'd swear there were over 100 life forms with 5 to 50 stages each. Spores, zygotes, seeds, eggs, growing and developing through larvae, pupae, buds, reproducing through sex, syzygy, fission, and the whole ecological cycle took about 2 minutes. All this was going on amidst a kaleidoscope of frail, wilting flowers and blooming jeweled webs, vines and worms, warts and jellyfish, symbiotes and saprophytes, while rainbow herds of algae careened back and forth like glittering confetti. One rough rind balloon felt that you could see him without the eyepiece, squatted on the wall, feeding on jelly, batting his eyes closed while the tide surged through tears and gills. I blinked as I took it from my eye. That looks complicated. I handed it back to him.
Not really.
He slipped it around his neck.
It took me 2 weeks with a notebook to get the whole thing figured out. You saw the big fellow?
The one who winked?
Yes. Its reproductive cycle is about 2 hours, which trips you up at first. Everything else goes so fast. But once you see him mate with the thing that looks like a spider web with sequins, same creature, different sex, and watch the offspring aggregate into paramecia, then dissolve again, the whole thing falls into...
One creature. The whole thing is a single creature.
It has to be to stay self-contained.
The grin on his face whipped away like a shade snapped up on a window. A very serious look was underneath.
Even after I saw the big fellow mate, it took me a week to understand it was all one.
But if Goofus and the fishnet have paramecia, it seemed logical when I made the guess.
You've seen one before.
Not like that one, anyway. I once saw something similar, but it was much bigger, about 6 feet across. And seriousness was replaced by quivering horror. I mean, he really started to shake.
How could you ever... even see all the stuff inside, much less catalog it. You say, this is complicated.
Hey, relax, relax. He did, like that. It was much simpler. I went on to describe the one our kids had made so many years ago, as best I remembered.
Oh, it wasn't microorganisms. Simple, yes, very simple.
When he looked up, another expression had scrambled his features. I took a moment to identify it as confusion.
I don't see the point at all.
There was surprising physical surety in the boy's movement. His nervousness was a cat's, not a human's. But it's one of the psychological qualities of Golden. Well, it showed the kids a picture of the way the cycles of life progress. Anne rattled his chain.
That is why they gave us these things. But everything in the one you had was so primitive. It wasn't a very good picture.
Don't knock it. When I was a kid, all I had was an ant colony. I got my infantile Weltanschauung watching a bunch of bugs running around between two plates of glass. I think I would have been better prepared by a couple of hungry rats on a treadmill, or maybe a torus-shaped fish tank alternating sharks with schools of piranhas. Get them all chasing around after each other real fast.
Ecology wouldn't balance. You'd need snails to get rid of the waste, and then a lot of plants to reoxygenate the water, and some sort of herbivore to keep down the plants, because they'd tend to choke out everything else, since neither the sharks nor the piranhas would eat them.
Kids and their damn literal minds.
And if the herbivores had some way to keep the sharks off, then you might do it.
What's wrong with the first one I described?
The lizards, the segment worms, the plants, warts. All their cycles were completely circular. They were born, grew up, reproduced, maybe took care of the kids a while, then died. Their only function was reproduction. That's a pretty awful picture.